Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Thank you guys for joining us here on the Cantina, the Genreverse Podcast Network's Star Wars podcast, all Star Wars all the time, kind of like in Fanboys in the Dude's Van, where it's all Rush all the time. We are, of course, sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation. Make sure you guys check them out in the ad later on and links down below. Genreverse Podcast Network is wherever you get your podcasts from: Google, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. Check out or follow us there, and if you're watching us on the YouTube channel, please do subscribe to the Genreverse Podcast YouTube channel. LRMonline.com, you can find all of that and more entertainment news, needs, and opinions. I'm Kyle Malone, joined by everyone today. We've got Cam Clark over in Scotland, and a little bit to the south of me in one of the Carolinas is Shockey. What's up, bud?
Not too much, guys. Good to be back.
Yeah, man, you're slacking on. No, I'm joking. You were busy, had to go do other things, but I guess a housekeeping note: these two gentlemen are going to be helping me hold down the return of the Daily Cup of Genre on Tuesdays. So, because I've got occupational therapy on those days, and Manny can't record as late as it would take for me to come back and do the show with him. But yeah, the Daily Cup of Genre is back. So you guys make sure you are following and subscribe to your us on the podcast apps or YouTube channel. I'm tired. I did Marvel Multiverse. I did Daily Cog. I got those edited and published and all of that. And now I'm here to talk about more Star Wars, because Manny and I touched a little bit on it earlier today. But I don't know, Cam, you and I also talked a little bit early this week, so why don't I throw to Shockey first on this? We heard from Beatty, the gentleman that wrote the story for the first of his planned Kenobi trilogy films. We heard him say things, you know, about what made it all the way through, and including stuff with Reva. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. My dad was trying to call. He's got some something going on. One second. Let me text him on this. he has a bone tumor, and he's been getting some scans and things like that done, and he's probably just calling me to give me like an update. I'm doing a show. If you're not dying, I'll talk to you after.
Just hold off on dying for another 45 minutes to an hour.
If he calls again, that means he's dying, I guess. So, anyways, we heard a little bit about that, and I kind of wanted to see what you thought, what you felt about that whole idea that there was a trilogy of this Obi-Wan Kenobi story put out there, and also that things in the show as important as Reva herself, I don't know if the name's stuck, but her character go all the way back to this dude's ideas. What do you think about that stuff, Shockey?
I mean, it goes all the way back to like how bad, you know, Solo did in the performance of it. It really sucks that everything was based off of one movie and decisions going forward on that. Cause I really do think that after watching the show or the limited series on Disney Plus, that Kenobi probably would have been better off as a trilogy movie. I think that the story wise, because I do think that the way that it's chopped up in the Disney Plus series, it kind of left us with like too many questions, too many like, where is this going? Who is this? Who's that? Where when you sit down and watch a movie, you have those questions, but you kind of get almost all of them answered. And then you're like, okay, what's going to happen next in the second movie and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to like Bob Chapek and pushing Disney Plus streaming service. And so, you know, that's after watching this series, I enjoyed it. I think that, you know, for what we got from it, you know, I'm happy with it. Are there things that I would change or things that I wish they had done? Sure. I mean, everyone, when you look back at a lot of different movies, you know, you wish you could have made some changes, or you have your own personal opinions on things. But yeah, it's weird, you know, how, what was it? Episodes 1, 2, 3, and then what was it? 6?
No, it was 1, 2, and 6.
1, 2, and 6. Okay. Which, so 1, 2, and 6 were kind of
strange because
no, it's 1, 2, 3, and 6. It is 1, 2, 3, and 6 on the direct. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, go for it, Cam.
What's weird is that, like, he had this trilogy plan, but it seems like most of the story that we got in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show is based off the first movie of that
first
trilogy,
episode, yep.
not the sequels, because the way they tell you, you can sort of see where they've padded it out. If 1, 2, and 3, then 6 is him, you can see where they've kind of fitted and added things into that, I think. So it'll be interesting to see what his ideas were going even beyond that, you know?
I would guess that the second one would probably be the trials of learning how to become a Force ghost. And then the third episode, maybe back on Tatooine and protecting Luke, you know, right before you get to A New Hope, like kind of like maybe some sort of, you know, mission.
And the question is, would Reva's arc have carried
all the way? Mm-hmm.
Well, probably not, because in his version, she gets killed.
Oh, yeah. You know, like somebody had mentioned in one of the comment sections, either Reddit or something, like, how did Kenobi know that Mos Eisley was the, you know, the spaceport where the, you know, the scum and villainy, you know, were going. So maybe that would have been, you know, the third movie or second movie dealing something with Tatooine on there.
I'm sharing on screen for all those watching on YouTube. Like Cam said, part of this story, Kenobi differences between movie and series. She is killed according to the writer. Mm-hmm. Was that Joby saying that? Beatty, yeah. But one of the things I found interesting when he talks about what the second movie would be about, he doesn't talk about the third at all, really. He says, so then the second movie was thinking about where Kenobi ends up, and one of the most powerful and probably the most powerful moment in all of Obi-Wan's story is that moment where he sacrifices himself in A New Hope. Mm-hmm. Great moment, you know, makes you cry. But if you stop and think about it, it's a pretty sudden thing to just kind of go being... fighting a guy to see Luke and go, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You know, that to me, that required forethought. That required pre-acceptance, and that this was going to happen. That to me just screams, like you said, learning how to become a Force ghost. Because he's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to, you know, eventually figure out a way to help Luke, even if I can't be there. And that leads
kind
him
of learning
down
to
that.
Give off everything and be willing to just become one with the Force, because mm-hmm. that's what's needed at the time, which is kind of what he does, and kind of where our headcanons went as fans, you know, all those years. But it makes sense. It makes sense in terms of Obi-Wan's arc.
Yeah, so this is like a speculation too, that like some people think that moment now, like, you know, when he sacrifices himself, he sees both Luke and Leia together finally, like, that could have been probably the overall arc of the trilogy episode, the first movie dealing with Leia, second dealing with something, the third, you know, dealing with like Luke, or, you know, protecting Luke. And then, so then you get A New Hope where it's like, he finally is with Luke, and then Luke and Leia together, and it's like mission complete type deal.
I kind of always felt, looking at that scene, it's the fact as well that he knows that Luke won't go away if he's there. You know, he'll stay. Mm-hmm. You know, Ben, he's, you know, he's kind of...
Yeah, that's how I always do it. Yep.
And you know, Obi-Wan's thinking, you know, I'm going to have the last laugh here. He's, you know, 6 moves ahead in terms of, you know, what he's doing. But, you know, the main point is to not give Luke a reason to stick about, but to just piss off. And, of course, the first thing he says to Luke after he's dead is, run, Luke, run. You know what I mean? So, you know, it just shows that... he's going to another level, you know, at that point. So
do you think this, because they obviously ended season one, and we kind of talked a bit about this in our reviews, which again, guys, you can find here on the YouTube channel or podcast app. Do you think this gives them more going for a season two? Do you think all of this coming out is maybe like even free press for a season two, like a temperature check for a season two? What do you think about that?
I think it's BT having the NDA lifted finally. I think ultimately he'd have been under an NDA until Obi-Wan Kenobi finished, and now he's out there kind of getting his name out to say, actually, you know, although you only see my name in a couple of places, I come up with a story, people. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's just as simple as that in terms of why he's speaking about it now. I don't think that will necessarily kind of endear him to Disney themselves, so I can't see him kind of doing any more.
No, not. I didn't mean like his work being used. I just meant in general. Do you think keeping this kind of season two talk, or the fact that there was more story from the source material?
I mean, they changed, you know, that type of thing. The terminology on Disney Plus to say season finale. I mean,
yeah.
Usually that tells you something when they do that, Disney, that, you know, that there is plans in place. I think you only have to look at the fact that it's now the most watched thing on Disney Plus. I mean, that tells you everything. That kind of validates Chapek's decision to push it to Disney Plus, if you like. But
I think it's,
you do,
I think it's more or less getting
box office it would have made.
I think you got to see if you can get everyone on board back again. I think you and McGregor would be on board. I don't think you have Hayden Christensen come back.
You don't need him.
Well, that's my issue. But
do you have like
Vader the next time? Yeah.
They can't ever meet again. Never.
Yeah, I don't.
If they
ever
meet again, I am done with Star Wars.
Just sell it. Just sell it.
No, I agree with you. Like, we don't need Vader.
Scrub the shit off.
You can't have them go up again.
But you're gonna need Liam Neeson to be on board for this.
Yeah.
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 You might need, it all depends on what do they want to go into. Like, do they want to go into Kenobi's past? So then do you have something like the old Jedi that he, you know, not necessarily like Mace Windu, but Ki-Adi Mundi, you know, some of those, you know, Quinlan Vos, or, you know, do you bring, or do you want to go that route?
His long conversations with Yaddle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and bring Yaddle back. There you go. Season two, Kenobi and Yaddle, just for six episodes talking to each other.
She's dead.
Yeah, so like I get, but like you make it the trials. You make it the, you know, Kenobi learns how to become the Force ghost. So then.
Do you think it'll work the same as like an over? You know how like we saw Yoda's over what, a couple episodes or something like that, and in an animated way, it jumps quick, and you're kind of okay with that. How did they do that across it? Surely they have to have something, other characters, and some kind of threat or some kind of spanner in the works. You have to give them some drama to play with, you know. And that's where I'm not sure where they go with that.
Exactly. That's why I kind of look with Kyle on this. Like, you don't need Hayden Christensen back, because that arc is already done. When we leave Kenobi at the end of this season, he's at peace now. He understands that he's tried to save his friend. Yeah. So if you go and do the trials with the Wills, what would be that turn, that, you know, that issue or that, you know, conflict that he would have? And really, there's not much left. I mean, you could maybe throw Palpatine in there, but I wouldn't recommend that.
No,
Satine, or whatever her name is, Sabine Wren's sister.
Satine.
To be able to explore that side of things as possible. I mean, you could start connecting it all to the whole partisan thing, the Jedi that are trying to escape. There's ways you could try and kind of connect it to all that, and that he has to kind of make a decision to not go with them and with their path, but to go the other path with Qui-Gon. And that could maybe be the conflict that you've put in him, that, you know, that kind of, his instinct is, there's lots of Jedi. I can go, oh, wait a minute, I've kind of got another task and I can't really do what these guys are doing. I've got my own shit going on, you know, kind of almost going on in his head would provide conflict. And ultimately, you need conflict for drama. So that's what we're looking for. So just a suggestion.
Yeah. The really hard one is coming up with a third act for this. You know, a third conflict, or a final conflict of consequence, knowing, you know, A New Hope is right there, and that he's already conquered the whole Vader thing and accepted that, look, I'm just gonna hone the sword back on Tatooine for a few years and send him after the guy, you know. Yeah. So where do you go afterwards? What would be that third thing?
If you're talking about combat, like to give him an action scene or something like that, then
no, I mean any conflict, even a spiritual one. Like, what demon left does he have to face?
The only thing that I would say this is where it's like, do we really want to get into like the minor details like of A New Hope? Like, why does, you know, the way that Kenobi ends with Owen, right? Owen and Kenobi are kind of now at peace, but then in A New Hope, Owen is kind of like that crazy old man. Like, you could go into, but it would have to be something really good for me to like
kind of somewhere where they should go if they're doing another one, is to kind of sour the relationship again between them. But again, you have to do it in quite a subtle way. It can't be the main focus. It just has to be a natural.
I mean, the only thing I can think of. Yeah. The only thing I think of is like, while Kenobi's in his trials and stuff like that, he's running around naked, acting like he's on shrooms, and Owen's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy now?
God.
And stuff. But it's like,
he goes out and has a trip with the he's tripping lizard on shrooms from,
and stuff like that.
No, the lizard thing from Boba Fett.
Either that or you have
exactly.
Have Obi-Wan go off planet again because it's part of the challenge for Qui-Gon sends him places. Are you gonna have some shit happen that delays Obi-Wan, and you could have some drama happening with Owen back at Tatooine, and he kind of blames Obi-Wan for not being there whenever some bad shit happens. Like, it doesn't need to be somebody.
You're here when I don't want you. You're not here when I do want you.
Or it could be something, you know, not necessarily, you know, because of Obi-Wan and because of who Luke is, but just, you know, some protector you are kind of thing. It could be that. It could be as simple as that.
Yeah, somebody
it could work again, but it's delicate. You know, you'd have to set it all in and make it work. And
yeah,
I read one person's thoughts on Twitter. It was a good point. Is that it's a shame now that we look at it that episode of Star Wars Rebels where we see the end between Kenobi and Maul, that would have been the finale to the trilogy. You could have made that as so the third one you focus on Maul, and it's, let's say, majority of it is Maul on the hunt for Kenobi. And then you have that final climactic scene of, you know, between finally that resolution between Kenobi and Maul is done for, you know, and moved on.
Would we really want any adaptations of other stuff like that, though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, okay with it. I mean, like, if we were talking, you know,
if you flipped it and Dave did the Filoni third one
was
as,
involved and they shot it just like for like, you know, live action, do you know what I mean? Almost just like it, so it matched up with what you were seeing in the show, but just in a live action way. I'd accept that if they were, but there has to be a reason for it. It can't be like season 3, Obi-Wan does his thing, goes back to Tatooine, and then in the last shot, Darth Maul stoots up. I found you finally, right, you know, which is kind of what happens in Rebels, you know, it just comes out of the blue.
Yep. He uses Ezra to track down Kenobi. Like, I think that would have been, just take away Ezra, you know, Bridger, but like having the third movie flip the script where instead of it focusing on Kenobi, you focus on Maul and his search, you know, and his, you know, obsession with finding Kenobi. And then, you know, the third act is the battle between Kenobi and Maul, you know, that.
But again, what everybody loves about that battle is how one-sided it is, and that it takes 10 seconds, and you couldn't change that. So it's not very.
Oh, I wouldn't change it either. I would keep it the same way because,
you know, like Obi-Wan.
That's what I'm saying. Well, again,
let's see how good that is. It's not going. It's going to be. I mean, I like it. I love it. But you know.
Oh yeah, I remember like being so confused the first time watching it when it like for it came out. I was because they hyped it up like. This was the return of Kenobi, Maul, and I was thinking, okay, this is going to be like a 30-minute battle, and I'm watching that episode, and it's taking forever, and all of a sudden, like, 5 minutes are left in the episode, and finally you see Maul, you know, confront Kenobi, and it was literally like that, it's over, and I'm like, what? And it took me a second, and then you rewatch it, and then you see everybody, like, breaking it down, and then you hear Dave Filoni breaking it down, like, oh, that's, it's perfect. It, like that.
Yeah,
is,
no,
is,
yeah, be- I like it. It's,
yeah, it's fine, fine, but
so yeah, I could see that it in comes, live action, but I don't see the reason for it.
That's what I was getting at. It goes back to the question we asked at the end of our reviews was, you know, was Kenobi worth the finale of Kenobi? Was it worth everything else? And the Darth Maul thing, it really becomes hard to make it worth it if you're just going to redo something that already exists in a format most people love.
It's
so.
Not what I would do. I must admit, yeah. I would stay away from it, and I would give some other villain some other thing for Obi-Wan to face against, which was different, you know, something different. Jedi don't always have to fight against Sith. There's plenty of things within the Clone Wars that caused the Jedi problems that weren't Sith Lords with other lightsabers, and I think that's the way I would go it. Even given something Obi-Wan to do more of a challenge where it's, you know, lightsaber in the back pocket, use the Force kind of thing, in a way it would be a cooler evolution to where his character is going, for me to see that as where things go, rather than, you know, he uses the lightsaber less because he kind of doesn't need it. You know, he gets into the point of, you know, being that Alec Guinness that, you know, only pulls out the lightsaber when necessary, when he wants to use it, you know. Right.
When he's going to disarm
you're
someone.
You're in the cantina and, yeah, you should disarm somebody. Exactly.
Need to disarm.
And literally disarm them.
Yes, needs to relieve them of their arm.
And remember, in canon, he turned his lightsaber away down so that there would be blood to make it an even more frightening sight. Of course, that's just to explain the fact that there was blood in the floor when we see it in A New Hope. But
yeah. It is what it is. Just like this very unoriginal segue to our sponsors, Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
I could probably talk forever about Grow Generation. Thank you guys for sponsoring the episode, but also talk forever about like dream lists of directors or story ideas for future Star Wars movies. And you know, Taika's is one. You know, if they gave him, hey, 1,000 years ago, have some fun, or 1,000 years from now, have some fun, sure, absolutely. But outside of that, no, when it comes to Taika Waititi, man, he's one of those where it's like, you like what he's done with The Mandalorian. Oh, funny thing, he's going to be directing some episodes of Mandalorian Season 3, but also...
Well, actually... I think he's going to possibly come back as IG-11, unless they're kind of hiding the whole directing thing. But given what's on his plate at the moment, I just can't see how he could possibly have the time for.
And he has done great, you know, work with Mandalorian in the past, not just acting, but behind the camera as well. And everyone loves Thor Ragnarok, and we're all super excited about, well, most of us are super excited about Love and Thunder next week. But his movie, one, it doesn't look like it's going to hit in 23. Doesn't look like he's going to be filming anytime soon. In an interview with The Wrap, talking about shooting the movie, he said, not this year. I'm going to be in New Zealand from August until the end of the year with Our Flag Means Death and Time Bandits. He's redoing Time Bandits. Is it a remake, Cam? Do you know? Is it a remake?
I think so. I think that's the idea.
I wonder if...
You know, see, with his humor, that it would work.
That was a Gilliam movie, right? Yeah. That was one of Terry's. Gilliam, yeah. I wonder how much he might be involved. Anyways, and during that time, I will still be writing. I'm still trying to figure out what the story is. That's kind of the talking point, guys. He's talked about how it's not connected, that it's going to be its own thing and not wholly dependent on the legacy of Skywalker's or Palpatine's. But he's still trying to figure out what the story is. So we're not getting Star Wars movie anytime soon, guys. Cam, what are you thinking is going on here, and what do you want him to kind of do?
Well, like, I mean, I don't know, that's a
genre or something, you know, like angle. what angle are you hoping for from a Star Wars movie?
I have no idea. I mean, I think Taika Waititi's talented enough to turn his kind of hand to anything. I don't think everything has to have his signature humor. You know, mm-hmm. I think when you watch, you know, there was a little bit of it, you know, but it was always done subtly and, you know, and well within like the Mandalorian episode that he directed, mm-hmm. which was one of the best episodes of Mando, 100%. He's just one of those directors, when he does stuff, I like it. His humor, I get, you know, him and James Gunn, you know, I just kind of get those guys. And, you know, so I'm excited to see what he comes up with. I have no idea what I want to see. And I don't want to put kind of any, if it's a new story, just let's see what it is and judge it by what it is. In terms of the kind of timeline for it, I wonder if when we quoted, you know, Kennedy had said, oh, yeah, that'll be 2023 in terms of Waititi's movie. I wonder if mm-hmm. she meant start filming in 2023. That's what I'm kind of wondering now, because it never, ever felt like that was possible, that the movie would come out in 2020. Even from right when she said it, you just thought, that's just not right. It's not going to happen. You look at his workload and it's just impossible with the amount of projects he's got in place, and you've still got to get time to write it. Him with his co-writer, I can't remember her first name, Cairns is his second name, I remember, that's writing the script with him.
I see it in your article right off the bat.
It's not in there, no. Oh, okay. I think it's ultimately it's Waititi's story, but she's helping with the scripting duties on it for whatever reason. I think it's Kirsty Wilson-Cairns, off the top of my head, who's co-writing the script with him. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I really just see with these kind of things, I don't panic about it. You know,
Kirsty Wilson.
I just think, give him as much time as he needs. You know, one of the worst things they did with the sequel trilogy was they rushed it. They just really rushed it, and they pushed everything out to get a product out there. And it wasn't very good. You know, I'd rather give Taika as much time as he needs to really get a story right before pushing go on the camera button, you know, and get really do it justice if this is going to be the kind of next foundation of a new story that goes somewhere else, for sure.
What about you, Shockey? Do you want a full-fledged Taika-style comedy Star Wars movie? And how would that work if you do?
I think you would do amazing if you gave him like a bounty hunter group, you know, and make it like, you know, on this hunt for someone or whatever, but it's comedic style and stuff. Kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, with Thor, Ragnarok, and Love and Thunder, have like kind of quirky characters working together. You know, and just keep it kind of very separate away. You know, I mean, the bounty hunter esque. You know, we've gotten a little bit with Mando and Boba Fett, but there, I mean, that's a whole other realm that we could really dive into. Create all new characters, all new planets. Go around that way. Let him just have fun with it, and just make it a fun movie. You know, like, you know, make it a rom-com, Star Wars rom-com. Then, you know, go that route. Go, you know. Let it, you know, let's go with, when you have Taika Waititi and what he did with Thor and that character, let him have the opportunity to kind of do that with Star Wars. And I think if he has the time and, you know, it lets everything kind of play out, I think you're going to hit something gold there. But yeah, I don't see it.
I think he's a sensible enough director to know when to pull back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. But I mean, I'm open to the idea of Star Wars comedy, I mean like his style, like my kind of thought I drew from an old EU story. I can't remember their names. A couple of Force sensitives. I think they may have even been brother and sister. They were some of the early like hyperspace route clearers, finders, whatever, you know, they discovered and charted the hyperspace lanes, some of the earliest ones. And it was because they were force sensitive and able to kind of feel where would be safe to go to map them out. I thought of, you know, this is set thousands of years in the past. it offers him that road trip kind of comedy thing that he had going with Ragnarok, and what kind of looks like we'll be getting in with Love and Thunder. It also reminded me that it would offer opportunities for comedy likes that we saw in Wilder People and Jojo Rabbit. Mm-hmm. That very quirkiness and especially the youthful aspects from Jojo Rabbit, imagination type stuff. Like, I don't know, that's kind of what I see as some sort of high adventure type film with him. A Princess Bride type deal, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know that he would be the only one that would have like the balls to bring Mark Hamill back as like a different character, and everybody's like, dude, you look exactly like Luke Skywalker. He's like, I don't know where you get that from and stuff like that and everything. But Taika would do that. Like, and
I don't
that
know
would,
if I want
work,
that, dude. But that I could see it happening. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying like the whole entire movie, but just kind of like, you know, they walk by him like, aren't you Luke Skywalker? He's like, nah, get out of here with that stuff. You know,
I would like, rather Luke's name not be anywhere near anything else for a while outside of the Mando things that they're
maybe going. You don't say it like Luke over the God, you look familiar type deal, you know, or you look like, you know,
it would just be funny
because Mark Hamill, you know, his comedy style too.
He'd be down for a lot of that. Yeah. What do you think, Cam?
I don't know.
That much comedy?
I don't know because it's never happened yet.
It's never happened outside the great EU.
It looks
so it scares
Thor was the god of thunder, is so serious and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden he comes in.
It might not
change
it might
that
not.
Franchise around.
But Thor's not Star Wars. You know, I mean I'm just saying I'm absolutely up for whatever Taika comes up with, and I'll give it a chance. I just think there has to be some weight and some emotion. It can't just be like crazy, like let's see what shit we can come up with. Like,
what if it's like a buddy cop movie?
But if it's not dealing with, like I said, if it's a part of the Star Wars universe that's not about the fate of the galaxy.
That seems to be the next.
That was what the EU was all about.
Yeah,
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. I don't need the galaxy to be in danger for everything.
You know, it's a new story. You know, it's got to go somewhere eventually. You know, surely it's not
buddy
just taking in the sea. All right, glad you enjoyed that. Kevin Feige's will be up next. It's not related to Tykers whatsoever. Then Rogue Squadron,
I don't know,
that
some
won't be related whatsoever. And we
get
got
like
a
Tango if and gets Cash meets like, you know, you know, Princess Bride comedy, you know.
Lethal Blaster.
Malone and
that would be awesome. I'm getting too old for this shit. You know, it's all, yeah. Oh my gosh.
We're talking a bit on Discord, Malone and Gomez. Malone's the broken down old cop. He's too old for this shit, but he's only in his 30s.
Yes.
No, right? Oh God. To be fair, I've had a rough life.
A hard paper route.
Anyways, I for one, because of how much we've had where they're rehashing and staying in familiar territory, I for one would love a real risk and do a high adventure comedy. And again, I want this to be an all ages affair. I don't want it to be aimed at 10-year-olds or aimed at adults, you know, traditional Star Wars, all ages. I still think a horror movie set on Dathomir with the witches would be such a cool idea.
I think you need Sam
Raimi
to do that one, though. Like, if you're going to do the Dathomir, I would get Sam Raimi to direct that one.
That's one where...
Make a comedy like what we do in The Shadows, where they're really, really bad at what they do. And Mother Tamsin's like,
oh my
no
God.
No wonder no one takes the Night Sisters seriously.
I would watch that. Oh my God. I need a fan film or fan show of that. That would be hilarious. What We Do in the Shadows is such a good show. We'll see what they deliver us in the future. It is kind of weird how we went from Disney promising us a Star Wars movie a year, basically. You know, they were going to alternate with the trilogy and then alternate with the Star Wars stories. And then it's like, oh, wait, guys, let's slow the roll. Let's slow this down. And now we're just getting a crap ton of TV shows. But, you know, they've been hit or miss at a lot of points.
Because and they're less risky.
They are. And I don't know. I want to see Star Wars in theaters again, but there's the risk, and something Cam and I have said for a while here on the Cantina, and that's the next Star Wars movie has to be a winner. It has to be a knockout. It cannot fumble like Rise, and it can't be as divisive.
I think that's why they paused on Rogue Squadron. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big reason there, is that they know that like the next one that hits theaters has got to be a home run. It's got to be a Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
How crazy is it that you could have literally taken Top Gun Maverick and made Rogue Squadron and pretty much made $1 billion?
That's what I hear.
Tom Cruise, man.
It's kind of upsetting to think about all the possible issues there between things that have been said and things that have been left unsaid, maybe. Anyways, guys, Genreverse Podcast Network is available wherever you get your brain. Genreverse Podcast Network is available wherever you get your podcast from. Google, Spotify, Apple, all that great stuff. The Daily Cup of Genre is back with Manny and I, and then Shockey and Cam will be helping me out for Tuesdays. So that's everything we want to talk about in geek and entertainment news. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, doing Miss Marvel still. Anime Versal Reviews, we have Classroom of the Elite coming up this week. And then Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. They do weekly news and usually review a movie or a show, or at least talk about what they're watching. All of that goes up on the YouTube channel, so please do hit the red subscribe button. Thank you to everyone that has done that so far, and everyone that just shows up to watch. We really appreciate that. Leave comments down below. Check out the genre shot trailer reactions. And all of that can be found at LRMonline.com, along with our LRM YouTube channel with all the celebrity interviews. We've got reviews and news articles and opinion pieces, all sorts of great things. Check it all out. Cam, what do you want to say, if anything?
That I won't be here next week on the Cantina because I'll be on holiday, so hopefully Mike will be able to fill in next week. Other than that, reach out if there's anything you want to chat to us about. We're on Twitter at LRM_cam, or please jump over to our Discord server where the LRM and Genreverse team, we're all talking about all the movies, the games, all the shit we're watching on TV, and the other readers channel are joining in as well. And yeah, we've just got a place for posting memes as well, because why the fuck not, you know?
Why not?
And sometimes we create crazy scripts involving... Yeah. Kyle and Manny,
there you go,
doing some crazy shit, you know. We just get crazy on there, so why not join us?
Yep. And yeah, speaking of joining us, Shockey, they could actually join the LRM team. Want to tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a voice, a thought, an opinion on anything, you know, geek related, it doesn't even have to be, you know, Star Wars, it can be Star Trek or that, Indiana Jones, or you know, anime, stuff like that, you know, shoot us an email. We'll get you on. If you want to write, if you want a podcast, you want to join the group and stuff, we're looking to grow, and we want to grow people with, you know, different opinions and be willing to talk about it. So send me an email or send me a message on Twitter at LRM_Shockey, and you know, we can get that started. It'd be great to have you guys join on.
Absolutely. That's it for this week, guys. We'll talk to you next time. May the force be with you.